This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, how peaceful was it in your... Do you remember playgrounds? We used to go to playgrounds. In fact, I mean, no, some children have been back in playgrounds this week. How peaceful was it in your playground? You know, where you used to go to school. How peaceful is it in your home? Your place of work. I want to talk about what it feels like when it's peaceful and when it's not. What can you think about what it feels like when it's peaceful and when it's not? When it's not, words like fear and fighting and disruption come to mind, don't they, when it's not peaceful. So I want to talk about what peace is, what it isn't, and then look at four dimensions where a miracle can bring about a radical peace. Galatians 5:22-23 is what we've been looking at in the last few weeks, and we are going to for the next couple of weeks. It's Galatians chapter 5, if you want to find it in your Bibles, letter from Paul to the church in Galatia, verses 22 and 23, which sit in the context of this sort of battle within us to obey our new Lord as opposed to our old Lord, to do the good thing rather than the bad thing. And this real struggle within us. And in the middle of it, Paul says in verse 22 and 23, he says, when you're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in us, he says, the fruit of the Spirit in you as he grows in you is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience in some of the translations, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a list of traits which, it's a familiar theme of Paul's, he does that quite a lot, but it's like a character description of Jesus, and we want to become like him. So this week we're looking at the peace part of that. Jesus was a man of peace. He was peaceful, and he had peace which is able to He was able to give it to people. His standard goodbye was, go in peace. So what is this peace? Why does the Nobel Committee award a prize for it? Let's think about it by thinking about what it isn't. Okay, when there's no peace in your playground or in your home, what is there? In November 1939, a long time ago, even before my time, at the beginning of the Second World War, the Nobel Committee in Norway decided not to award a peace prize because most of Europe was at war. That's the distinction. And 10 years ago, President Barack Obama's, one of his main foreign policy strategies was to promote peace in order to avoid war. So where there is fighting, violence, disagreement, peace isn't. But peace is something that's strong enough to push back hostility and threat, strong enough to build a place of calm and safety. It's not insipid, sort of nice to have thing. You know, we sometimes say a baby looks peaceful or I slept peacefully. That sort of means peace, but it's not what this is about. This is about a dynamic, powerful presence. And the context in which Jesus and Paul were speaking was a violent and warlike situation in Palestine, as it is now, really. The Old Testament records a lot of discord and warfare and fear. And in the Old Testament, the peace was describing the interlude between two wars. In a gap between fighting, there was well-being and happiness and food to eat and wine to drink and concord and harmony in the land. Justice was done. It was safe. In the Nativity story, when the angels appear to the shepherds and they want to welcome the Prince of Peace, they said, well, they sang quite loudly, I think, in Luke 2, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And in that time, and for those people, it meant something radical, something that needed a miracle. It meant salvation. If we look at what Jesus said in John 14:27, he says an extraordinary thing. In fact, if you read John 14:15-16, he comments on this quite a lot. And he says in John 14:27, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Remember the context into which he's speaking of fear and war, occupation. And he says, my peace I give you. What an extraordinary thing to say. To stand in front of that awesome young man who radiated presence and serene strength in a dangerous and violent world, to know that he was the Messiah and that he was offering to share his peace with me, with you. It must have been an awesome moment, one of many with the disciples. That's why peace is important, because when there is God's peace, Jesus giving us his peace, it deals a mortal blow to hostility and injustice. There are many people in our world looking for peace. The Rohingya in Myanmar, the Syrians in 9 years of civil war, the people of Yemen. And as Josh referred to earlier on, 10 days ago in the States, there's an act of violence in the murder of George Floyd, and that's resulted in an outpouring which seeks the same well-being, peace, justice, safety for all. So peace in this world is a radical thing, and it will need a miracle. Next week, I want to talk about reconciliation and the miracle ministry to which Christians are called. For there to be peace on our streets in this deep, radical sense of harmony and concord and justice and equality and well-being and safety, it has to start with a miracle, and it has to start with radical change in us. And I want to talk about four of those dynamics of miracle and bringing peace. The first is between God and me. The separation between God and me, caused by my sin and where I choose to turn away and orientate my life around another idol instead of making Jesus the center of my life. That's one of the separations, and it doesn't have to be like this, because the Prince of Peace, Jesus, crossed that divide and took my sin on his shoulders. And through that miracle, I can be reconciled to God. I can be at peace with my Maker. And then there's a separation in my very being between me and me, almost, in my soul. And we sense this estrangement in us. We can't believe that we are made in the image of God, Imago Dei. But it doesn't have to be like this. Whatever anyone has said to me, to you, whatever warped experience we've had and we have believed, the miracle is that we are deeply loved. We are sons and daughters of the King. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to come, fill our lives, and teach us to love ourselves. And the third area of separation is where there's no peace is between you and me. See, if Jesus isn't the one I worship, and if I can't see the likeness of God in me, then why should I see him in you? And why should I care about you or understand you? No wonder there's a divide between me and anybody who doesn't look like me, and even between me and those who do look like me. But it doesn't have to be like this. Jesus offered us his peace and told us to love one another. And as we're reconciled to God and to ourselves, another miracle happens, and we're able to reach out and reconcile to others. We're able to forgive and be forgiven. And then finally, that separation is inbuilt in us, not just me and you, but the human systems in which we live and work. Many of our institutions have built in systems of separation of a race, gender, age, all sorts of things. But it doesn't have to be like this, brothers and sisters. When we are reconciled to God and to ourselves and to one another, then when the miraculous power of God's peace has powered through this far, we begin to see the glimpses of heavenly well-being. We're able to stand up for what is just and right, secure in knowing that we are at peace with God and that he can work miracles even deep in the recesses of human establishments. Let me conclude. Julian of Norwich, the mystic and theologian woman in the Middle Ages, she writes, "Peace reigns where our Lord reigns." Peace reigns where our Lord reigns. This radical understanding of peace, of a peace as a place where God dwells and all is well, where we can live in harmony and fulfillment, where every individual can be reconciled to God and to one another. This vision of a miraculous peace is one in which Christians believe. We have a dream. We have a certain hope that one day peace will come. And until that day, we live in the what we call the already and the not yet. And so we repent and we go to the cross and we surrender our lives to Jesus. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and do a miracle and to grow the fruit of peace in our lives. Amen. I want to pray into that now, if you'll allow me. So if you're able to get into a place where you can receive and pray with me, that would be great. And then Alison's going to join me and we're going to see what the Lord wants to do. But I feel that this, these four dimensions drawing us in prayer, sort of drawing us to repentance. And so, come on, Alison, come and join me. So let's pray together. And I want to pray through a repentance prayer for each of those four dimensions. And one or more may be more or less resonant with you. You dive in to the extent that you want to the extent that this is the moment for you for that. Okay, so if you're able to close your eyes, if that's not unsafe, and put your hands out and receive, and come to the cross in your mind's eye with, or if you want to look at the candle that we've lit, come to Jesus in an attitude of repentance. And we're going to repent, first of all, of allowing idols to come between us and God. Lord, we're so sorry for those things that that distract us from you, whether it's money or education or celebrity or just a preoccupation with ourselves. Whatever it is, Lord, we repent. We ask you to show us and we repent. We're sorry for allowing anything else to take you from the center of our lives. Forgive us, we pray, and we commit once again to serving and worshiping you. It may be that you need to repent of believing a lie about yourself, that you are not special and precious to the Lord, made in his image. So if that's you, Lord, I repent of not believing that you love me and that you've made me in your image. And I choose to turn away from the lies and the distractions and the things that people have said over me and that I believe. Lord, would you change my mind? Would you help me believe the truth? And I receive your forgiveness for not believing what you told me. Restore to me that understanding of who I am in your eyes. And Lord, I also want to repent of the way I've thought about and treated others, or not thought about others, especially those who are different from me, who are at a distance from me, who I push away or don't recognize. Lord, you came and gave everything for every one of us, including me. And so I repent of my lack of love and acceptance of other people. Would you forgive me? I repent. Restore relationships in my life with others. Give me eyes to see you in others. And finally, Lord, we all repent of the systems that we've allowed to build and that we, either through silence or through apathy, don't address, where there's been no peace for many people. And this is a big deal. Lord, we ask you to come. We repent. We are sorry. Would you show us how you can use us, how we can change, how we can be agents of change? Would you forgive us? And Lord, grant us your peace in all these areas of our lives. May we be living, radical, powerful, miraculous, peace-filled lives. Amen.